Sentinel, First Watch. Black to the west, pearl at the edges, face full of eyes, red at the cuff, my tower of bones blooding the height crosswise to the sea invites the seed to a telling of dream. Milk of the muskox curdled in brandy, coated and bound to coinage of fire, struck in likeness of flesh. Mutations of waves chatter from the mouths of goblins, biting off bits of wind and speaking them. Indifferent rhetoric, proficiently uttered, nothing to challenge the rational. This is their code and curse. I observe them from my tower beside the sea, call each by name, the one called many, and the many called one. None stands beside me. My charge lies in accepting the evidence of my eyes. I stand where I stand, speak as I speak, take nothing for granted, all open to doubt, evidence of eyes notwithstanding. Yet I do not disbelieve that things are as they seem, though in another place they would seem otherwise. Not to seem to say, yet to have said, this is the measure of saying. To encompass without comprehension, obeisance made to the fact that words belong to the element of air, that is the art of hearing. My report is chiseled in rock, let not its weight in stone refute the lightness of its aim, which is that of music, yet it will not be music. Second Watch. A stem twists in my hand, seeking after its flower, but the flower knows not the stem, acknowledges no kinship to the stalk of its arising. I have a message. Beware. The stem knows not the root, and the flower presents no seed. Yet there is perfume in the air of a phantom blossom blooming. This is not the sentinel's doing, nor was it due to the counsel of the crow that it should be so. Strange things are brewing. They will need attending. The sentinel calls the tower to him. The tower is his song and enfolds him. Mystery and reluctance form concentric rings, red to umber along the horizon of such music as is heard in troubled sleep. I spy with my brass eye three stragglers keeping to the shadow of a cloud, which seems to travel at their pace. My challenge to them is met with insolence. No reason to detain them. The only danger they offer is to one another. It is the quiet ones, those who respond to challenge and counter-challenge in all respects correctly, who seek to pass unnoticed, those meticulous ones who must be detained and made to answer pointless questions till their logic fails them. Crafting my report, words come with annoying fluency in images not necessarily of my choosing. The gods in the apple tree hold court with a crow. A girl with a guitar sits beside the city gate, mending a broken string with twined filaments of her own hair, then strums a minor chord, raising her voice in mild words, forever stripped of innocence. A stick snaps in the berry brush, noted in my chronicle. Three stragglers and a snapping stick. Things have been lively this watch. What is seen matters less than what is said, if it be precisely told. Third Watch. There is a language which is spoken, and it has its use, but one does not drive nails with the flat of the hand. There is a language by which stories are told, and it has its use, but one does not poke coals with the eye. There is a language suitable for song, its edges smooth as the face of a coin, but one does not hone knives on the soft parts of the body. There is a language of earth and sky that inhabits sleep, of emerald pearls and black rubies which seed the soil to put forth a transparent flower of whose loveliness no song may yet be sung. Invisibility is its essence, fragrance has it none. There are grateful places where hearts tune to the resonance of the soul and healing streams, but we have need of dangerous dreams. Fourth watch. The girl beside the gate has come again today. The song she plucks on the string of her hair disturbs the wind. She sings of a still place where breezes are born dead. Deeper than marrow, pain of the terminal wound, risen to full flower of bruise, after exhausting all potential for damage beneath the skin. Out of her mouth blooms a rare transparent flower, which flows like silk down the face of her body. Only the most fluently adaptable scheme could hope to apply a layer of lyric without intruding on the sound, fuse the intent, and collapse the structure into harmless song. Forbidden entry into the phantom flower, there is nothing to be lost in assuming it makes no difference. If it is not so, it must be made to seem so, and in seeming, come to pass. Fifth watch. Jealousy, that things appear to exist as objects, while I am simply a subject. Consternation, that others should know what they know by right of birth, while I struggle from conception to conclusion, knowing less of what I seem to know than what I say. Suspicion, that my grief is not so noble as the grief of the deeply ensouled who face ruin without the comfort of delusion. Fear, that the pool of my sorrow is so shallow a moderate day's warmth will dissipate the flood tide of my sympathies. I do not know if a tree remains a tree when I turn toward a cloud, nor if my love is love, or infatuation of the eye with a bright gilding of the heart's foundation, by whose inexact light I happen to see another. Sixth watch. The blind heart I behold reaches across to me. The fabled lungfish, whoring the stony beach, unfolds a horizon inloaded with cargo, infiltrates the springs of the bed where children are conceived. These children are born bouncing, fall to the floor like India rubber balls, and roll as far from home as the spirit of the wind commands. Their cribs yawn wide, producing sometimes a changeling, sometimes the wing of a moth, or the feather of some unseasonable bird, as token that the other mother claimed them. No more cherries out of thin air. The magus who produced them has vanished in the mirror, leaving a dark wound in the glass from sudden absence of reflection. Only in the body of another does the certainty of freedom digress into sheer ideal, bled white by leeches of light. Interlude, words written in his journal while the sentinel sleeps. Rotten with confidence, the sentinel dozes in his shoddy cardboard tower, dreaming of a seashore strewn with the shells of calcified redeemers. Hold one to your ear to hear prophecy in the voice of waves. He fails, as all must fail, his self-appointed charge, to see what's before him, that alone, unclouded by desire or concept. We three, who seem to him stragglers, are concept incarnate, fueled by desire. We three with angels in our pockets, pulling a cloud by a kite string. We whose powers of observation are focused by the purity of our intention to speak only to angels in prime numbers. Once inside the gates, we will release them. By the time he learns who passed beneath his nose unheeded, the angels will have done their damage, the snap of the stick and the brush being only the faint echo of the end of the world the sentinel seeks to prolong. The angels will do nothing but shine in the corners in radiant absence of action. By degrees, perfect peace will descend upon the city until it will seem it has always been so. This is the possibility the sentinel selected himself to guard against, insufferable satisfaction, stagnating lack of contention. Why do we bring such a treacherous gift? Are we devils? Far from it. We are agents of completion. It is to strike flint to the consecrated fuel awaiting combustion, to ignite the first spark of all-consuming light. Flame alone frees. The sentinel himself may keep his watch, confined to his wall by misunderstanding of the force he opposes, crafting reports destined to go unread, but over which, knowing this, he will take more pain as evidence to himself of his purity of dedication. Did he but know his own utility to the angels whom he sets himself against, he would cast his spyglass into the sea in sorrow. Without him, we could not ignite our holy fire. He is the sulphurous tip of our quicksilver match. When our work is complete and peace settles in waves lapping his tower struts with a monotonous precision, he will lift his clutching eyes to the shifting conformations of the sky in search of change. There will be nothing here to see. The Last Watch. Trapped in my tower, with no mission but to sound the bell tolling the hours of my captivity, I survey clouds and calculate the tide. Stone axemen among petrified trees, I hear the seasons shout farewell in passing, returning before their echo is diminished, years revising the contours of hill and stream at astonishing speed. Spyglass claimed by the sea, I spend my nights in naked-eye astronomy, my days staring at the self-same sky occluded by the twinkle of the sun. I am the witness of minor variation, no two sighs of discontent are identical in cause. Yet there is value in seeing things as they present themselves, assuming no more than what they appear most nakedly to be, stone lion in the sand with the face of a man, a simple statue, grand but devoid of mystery, as any ring of standing stone, erected to perpetrate the rites of some who feared the sun might fail to rise without them. Beyond the voluptuous self-consuming vortex that winnows out of space and returns along the track of its own edges, defying preposition, beyond or aside from it, lies the point of rest I seek and of which I cannot be mistaken. In seeming, it must be so, for seeming is the substance of apparency, its sole mode of being. There is no other measure. Where is the place surrendered to mystery by innocent credulity? The still place, sterling bright, the place that must be so. There I propose to go, defended against night by a tender history of absolute futility. The people of my city sit cross-legged, absorbed in their idea of deity, through which they dart point-blank into the jaws of their natural enemy, while I study the mold on the face of a sickly fruit, or whatever comes to hand. It is enough to see. What evades the ear and makes it blind is simple to the eye. I have seen the writing of the three addressed to me, and recognize the hand in which the words were written, my own. What witness can withstand impeachment by the light? Since it is so, I do not see how it could be otherwise. It is no concern of mine in what manner I was self-slated to play the fool to my own Magus of Thebes. It is as it must be, since I am as I am, a fact among facts, a figment of my own observation, like any other. If beauty is to be, it must root in what is less than beautiful, allow itself to sprout shabby foliage, serving as a rough protective cover for its seed. The seed has beauty to outshine the flower. Let the seed be delivered intact, sound in husk and germ, then all is accomplished which has been appointed. This is my full report, respectfully submitted to the seed, who knows those things implicitly which I suspect in part, my only business being to say what I have seen, and then be silent.